Before we get into God's Word together, I just wanted to give a few words of prelude regarding today's message and where we're headed in the month of January. 2023, I believe, has been a really good year at Parkway. God has provided for us and has been so gracious to us on so many different levels. I want to thank you as a church family for your faithful giving, for your prayer support, for each person who has served in some capacity this year. Every member of Christ's body, every member of God's family is important, whether you are physically able to serve or you serve through your prayers for our church. You are important and you are appreciated. I certainly love each of you, and I love serving here as your pastor, and I'm looking forward to a fruitful ministry in 2024. During the first few weeks of this year, during the 4 weeks of January, we're going to be focusing on Sunday morning on a few of the core priorities that I believe we want to hold in front of us as a church in 2024, including prioritizing our prayer ministry, caring for one another, and reaching out to our community with the good news of the gospel. God has called us to reach out to our world with the good news of Christ, and it is good news. And this morning, my message really is a message intended to encourage you as we begin this new year. We don't hear a lot of good news out there, do we? So my message today is called Good News for the Journey, and we're going to look at some good news that we find in Scripture today. So let's join together now and pray and invite God's Spirit to speak to us. Father, we thank you that the gospel is good news. That is what it means. And Father, we have good news to share with our neighbors, our family, our friends, with our community, our country, our world. We thank you that Jesus died for us, and through him we can experience peace and purpose and hope. We can experience joy. We can experience life transformation because your Spirit indwells those who know Christ. And your Spirit changes us. Lord, I thank you for this church family, for each one, for the many who have served so faithfully behind the scenes. And Father, it takes all of us working together to fulfill your purposes. And as we embark on a new year, we do look forward to your Spirit working and continuing to build your church, continuing to glorify your name here at Parkway. That is our desire and our prayer. As we look at some good news found in Scripture today, may you just encourage our hearts and give us this as a foundation for the coming year, knowing that you love us, and no matter what, you will never, ever let us go. So may you speak through your Holy Spirit today, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, there was once a man who lived near a very busy highway. He had always dreamed of owning his own small business, so just off the highway, he set up a hamburger stand. The man enjoyed living a simple life, so he had no cell phone and no computer. He rarely paid any attention to the news on the TV. But there was one thing he did well, and that was making good hamburgers and offering excellent customer service. He put up signs on the side of the highway to advertise his hamburger stand. It didn't take long for his business to start growing. A few weeks after he opened up his business, people began lining up to buy his hamburgers. Word soon spread around the community about the quality of his food, and the lineups continued to grow. So he increased his meat and bun orders. He bought a bigger grill to take care of the increased business. He was making a great living, and everything was going well. One afternoon, he called up his son, who was away at university. He was excited to tell his son that the hamburger business was thriving. But his son said, "Dad, haven't you been paying attention to the news? The economy is struggling. Inflation is really high. People are struggling with debt and high interest rates. How can you expect your business to succeed in this economic climate?" After their conversation, the man began to think to himself, "Well, my business is really thriving, but my son is better educated than I am. He follows the news. He must know more than I do. That same day, the man severely reduced his meat and bun orders. He took down all his advertising, and he reduced the hours of operation for his hamburger stand. Obviously, his sales fell overnight. He called up his son, and he said, "You were right. We are definitely in the middle of tough economic times." This story illustrates the link between attitude and action. In this case, the son's negative attitude affected the father's actions. And we are constantly surrounded by bad news, and this negativity can affect how we act and how we perceive the world around us. Whether we like it or not, people outside the Christian faith will also make judgments about the Christian church based on what they see and hear in the media, or based on whatever limited interaction they have had with someone who professes to know Christ. Within our culture, the church has a negative image. We are often defined by the things we are against rather than being defined by the positive virtues we stand for. In the first century world, the Christian church was in its infancy, but in the early church, the believers' love for one another and their love for others was so authentic and so obvious even to those outside the Christian faith, the first century world took notice. In the first century, those outside the church described Christians with the following phrase: "Behold how they love one another." In other words, Christians were defined by their authentic love and the way they cared generously for one another. Today, shouldn't we as followers of Christ also be known for positive virtues like love, generosity, grace, kindness, peace, and other positive virtues? As followers of Christ, shouldn't we be known as a people of hope who have good news to share with the world? Today, I want to kick off the first Sunday of the new year by exploring those two words, hope and optimism. In our world, as I said, we don't hear a lot of good news because bad news sells. Bad news gets our attention. Every single day we are bombarded with negative news, so it's easy for us to become pessimistic. But I believe God's desire for us is peace and hope, not fear and despair. North America is often called a post-Christian culture because the Christian faith is no longer the predominant value system of our society. In a post-Christian society, biblical truth is replaced by a secular value system that emphasizes materialism, moral relativism, and the equality of all religions. To faithfully follow Christ in a post-Christian culture, it is crucial that we know what we believe and why we believe it. It's also important that we let our light shine within the darkness. We were singing "Shine, Jesus, Shine," to let our light shine within the darkness of our culture. Part of letting our light shine is to remember that we have good news to share and good news to live out. So let's explore this morning five reasons why we as followers of Christ should be defined by a sense of peace, hope, and optimism. Please follow along as I read Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. Now this passage may not sound like it has anything to do with peace and optimism, but you'll see where I'm going in a few moments. Luke chapter 6, verse 1. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Pardon me. And then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Here in this incident, Jesus infuriated the religious leaders of his day by breaking their Sabbath rules. By doing so, he challenges us to understand the difference between religion and true faith. Jesus shows us that there are two radically different spiritual paradigms at work in this world. The first spiritual paradigm is religion, and the other paradigm is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a huge difference between these two paradigms. The biblical word gospel literally means good news. It is the good news of the coming of God's kingdom through Christ. It is the good news of redemption and forgiveness of sin through the death and resurrection of Christ. Although the gospel is good news, we sometimes, within Christian circles, turn the good news of the gospel into moral advice. Instead of embracing the good news that the gospel is all about God's grace toward sinners, we are tempted to turn the gospel into a religious structure that provides us with good moral instruction. And I want to explain what I mean by that statement. You see, the emphasis of the gospel should always, always be what God has done for us in Christ. But sometimes we replace this with an emphasis on rules and other things that we need to do to become good Christians. When moral advice becomes the essence of Christianity, we change the gospel from good news to religion. We begin to think that Christianity is all about our goodness and our good works rather than the good work Christ accomplished on the cross. In this world, there is a lot of loneliness, despair, darkness, fear, and suffering. That is the reality. But there is also a lot of good news. As followers of Jesus, we have good news to share, and that message needs to be heard. We need to be careful not to be drawn into a mindset of negativity and pessimism. We need to be reminded that the word gospel literally means good news. To that end, I want to take a closer look at our scripture passage this morning and explore five reasons why we can live and must live with hope and optimism. First and foremost, God reigns supreme over this world. God reigns supreme over the events of this world. Verse 2 tells us that the Pharisees questioned Jesus because his disciples were picking grain on the Sabbath day. They were angry because Jesus' disciples were violating the Pharisees' interpretation of the Old Testament law. Interestingly, the Old Testament never prohibited picking grain on the Sabbath to eat it. The Pharisees had created hundreds of additional laws to regulate what a person could and could not do on the Sabbath day. God created the Sabbath as a day of restoration and rest. It was intended to replenish and restore, but the Pharisees had turned the Sabbath into a burden. In verse 5, Jesus said that he is Lord of the Sabbath. And from beginning to end, the message of Scripture is that God reigns over every aspect of this world. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. You see, I believe that faith and hope rest upon a correct perception of God. If my concept of God is small, my faith will be small. But if I believe and you believe that He truly is the Lord of all creation, and if we believe that He rules over human history, and we believe He is faithful, good, and powerful, we can face life with a sense of hope and peace. You see, your life and my life are not in the hands of fate and not in the hands of random chance. You have a God in heaven who watches over you and keeps you by His grace. God reigns supreme over this world. That is a foundation that we need to set our lives upon in this new year. The late Keith Miller was an author and conference speaker. One evening he was leading a small group Bible study and he asked everyone who was there to share something about their childhood. A woman named Alicia stood up and spoke. Alicia said, "When I was a little girl, I was put in an orphanage. I was not very pretty and no one wanted me. But I can desperately remember wanting to be adopted and be loved by a family. I thought about it day and night. But I tried too hard to please people when they would come and meet me to consider me for adoption. All I did was drive people away. Then one day I was told that a family was coming to take me home with them. I was so excited, I jumped up and down and I cried. But the director of the orphanage told me that this would be a trial basis and this adoption might not be permanent. But in my heart, I knew that this family would keep me. So I went home with the family and I started school in their town. I was happy because I finally felt as though someone loved me and wanted me. I finally felt like I belonged. Then one day, just a few months later, I skipped home from school and ran in the front door of the big old house where we lived. As I walked through the front door, my heart broke into a million pieces. There in the middle of the front hall was my battered old suitcase with my little coat thrown over top of it. As I stood there staring at my suitcase, I began to cry uncontrollably. I realized what this meant. The family was sending me back to the orphanage. The family didn't want me anymore. One of the important doctrines of our faith is the doctrine of adoption. Scripture tells us that when we put our faith in Christ, we are adopted into God's family and His Spirit comes to live within us. Adoption into God's family is not based on my worthiness or on any goodness that I possess. It is solely based on God's grace. And let me tell you, when God adopts you into His family, He does not forsake you or cast you away. And this leads us to a second reason why we should live with a sense of hope and optimism. God's grace and love are beyond measure. One of the main themes in the Gospel of Luke is Jesus' compassion for those who are social outcasts. Throughout Luke, we see Jesus ministering to Gentiles, women, children, tax collectors, and other people who were on the bottom of the social ladder. He treated these people not as second-class citizens, but as valuable people who are made in the image of God. When we go right to the beginning of Luke's gospel, it's interesting to note that the announcement of Jesus' birth was given by an angel to a group of shepherds. In first century Israel, shepherds were outcasts. So why would God announce the Savior's birth to a group of men who are near the bottom of the social ladder? By visiting the shepherds, the angel, I believe, was revealing God's grace to humanity. In Luke 6, verse 9, Jesus said, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it?" Jesus was asking a rhetorical question to remind the Pharisees that the Sabbath was not meant to be a burden. It was an act of God's grace to provide a day of spiritual and physical renewal. And God's grace is a constant theme in Scripture. When it comes to our spiritual need, every human being is on a level playing field. Scripture says we have all sinned against God, and we all deserve to face His judgment. Yet by His grace, He sent Christ to face the judgment we deserve. Knowing that I am forgiven by God's grace sets me free from the futility of trying to earn my salvation. It frees me from the enslavement of religion, the enslavement of law. Christ's death is sufficient to cover my sins and your sins. God's grace and love are beyond measure, and this is good news. This is good news for us to live by. Several years ago, a woman named Ginny Hybels was driving home from a late-night Christmas Eve service at her church. Because it was snowing heavily, the streets were largely deserted. As Ginny drove to the top of a hill, she noticed that there was a car stuck in a snowbank at the bottom of the hill. Although she thought it was dangerous for a lone woman to stop and help a stranger, especially late at night, she pulled over to help anyway. The man in the car was grateful that someone would stop and help on such a stormy night. He told Ginny, "I can't believe you stopped. I was afraid I would be stuck in the snowbank all night." So Ginny got behind the wheel of the man's car while he got out and he pushed it. It took them 45 minutes, but they managed to get the car out of the snowbank. The stranger thanked Ginny for her help. But before Ginny could leave, the man ran over to her car, grabbed her purse from the front seat, and then he said, "Thanks very much. This is going to do nicely." Then he jumped into his car and drove away with Ginny's purse. The stolen purse was filled with cash and Ginny's credit cards. You know, few things in this world are secure. Material things can be stolen from us, as in this case. On the other hand, there is nothing in all creation that can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Nothing at all. And this is a third reason for hope and optimism. Nothing can separate a believer from God's love. I love Romans 8, 38 and 39, and I refer to it often. And there in those two verses, Paul tells us that nothing whatsoever can separate a child of God from his Father's love. In John 10, 28 to 30, Jesus said that nothing can snatch us out of his hand. Both those passages have one thing in common. They speak about our security in Christ. No circumstance, no hardship, no situation, no person, absolutely nothing can separate a true believer from the love of God. God's love for you will never change. His love is constant and eternal. If this truth has really gripped our hearts, I believe it will infuse us with hope and with peace. Here's a fourth reason for hope and optimism. God is with us, and He is for us. God is with us, and He is for us. In Luke chapter 6, the Pharisees were not concerned about the man with the shriveled hand. They were more concerned with rigid adherence to their version of the law. And in verse 10, Jesus restored the man's hand, demonstrating God's mercy, compassion, and concern for human life. In Romans 8, 31, Paul asks the following question. Now think about what he's asking here. If God is for us, who can be against us? If the living God is for you, who can be against you? He's using a question, a rhetorical question, to make this point. Since God is for us, we have no reason to live in fear. Now, this doesn't mean that God will shield us from trouble and hardship. It means that we can face each day knowing that our lives and our circumstances are in the care of a God who is for His children. We can live with hope and optimism, knowing that God is working out His purposes in your life and my life, and He will never, ever let us go. This brings me to the last point this morning. We can live with hope because Jesus has overcome evil and death. You know, when you read through the Psalms, you'll see the psalmists being so honest and so raw about life and how it seems as though the evil people in our world are always prospering and the righteous are suffering and life doesn't seem very fair or very just. But I want you to know, and Scripture is very clear, Jesus has overcome evil and death, and God will have the final word in the end. The Pharisees were furious that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. They had corrupted the Sabbath to the point where even good works were forbidden. They missed the entire purpose of the Sabbath, and by doing so, they were blinded to the very heart of God. The heart of God is compassionate, and that is why he implemented the Sabbath in the first place. God sent Jesus not only to reveal the heart of God, but to defeat the works of Satan. On the cross, Satan and the powers of hell were defeated. Although evil and death still exist for now, they will not have the final word. And when we put our faith in Christ, the power of sin no longer has dominion over us. And one future day, we will spend eternity in the presence of Jesus, where injustice, evil, and sorrow will no longer exist. This is the ultimate hope of every believer. As I conclude this morning, I just wanted to encourage you today, but I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts to help us apply this to our lives. I think we need to be aware of our tendency to focus on the negative. It's so easy to do that, so easy to look at our world and think that things are spinning out of control, and it's easy to look at life through this negative lens. But let me say, if those who are not part of our faith, those outside our faith, if they hear us complaining and being pessimistic, what does that say about our faith? As Jesus' disciples, we have good news to share. We have a message of profound hope. Does your conversation and your attitude point others to the Savior who brings hope and peace? Let us pray. Father God, we do have good news, and we thank you that we have looked at some of the good news that Scripture shares with us, that you are for us and not against us, that nothing can separate us from your love. We thank you that you reign sovereignly over this world. Our lives are not in the hands of fate. We are not the victims of random chance. You are God, and you are sovereign. Lord, thank you that nothing can snatch us out of Jesus' hand. In him, those who possess true faith are secure. Thank you for that security that we have in Christ. It brings us peace. It brings us hope. Again, we pray that you would work out your purposes in our lives and in our church in 2024. We commit this year to you, that you would bless it, that you would be glorified, and that we would share the message of this message of good news with our world. In Jesus' name, amen.